A French Catholic novelist once concluded his novel, The Woman Who Was Poor, with a very interesting line. He wrote, "The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." Yes, Leon Bloy said this provocative line, wrote this in his novel, "The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." And he wrote that concluding this novel, which had depicted the hardships of this one woman, the woman who was poor, not simply physically, but in her relationships and how she is treated in life in all kinds of different ways. And yet inside was this vibrant life of God. And she lived this profound charity and was guided deeply by the Holy Spirit. And so in summary, at the end, that was what truly mattered. And that's what we're called to. Leon Bloy didn't mean necessarily an official canonized saint. You know, unless you're, you know, your name is up at St. Peter's Square, you know, it's a tragedy. No, he meant that deep reality of what a saint is. A saint, someone who is in full and deep personal communion with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The one who is fully alive, really who they are meant to be, freed by God's grace. The one fully formed by faith, by hope, and by charity. These things are so good, so ultimate, and also available to us in this life that anything else pales in comparison. So to have only those pale things instead is indeed a sadness, a failure, and a tragedy. I mention this, and I mention the reality of being a saint, because in our second reading, it points towards that. You see, the letter to the Hebrews is written to these discouraged early converts to Christianity, these Hebrew Christians who are suffering. They're starting to suffer persecution and opposition. And in this letter, they're directed for inspiration to the great cloud of witnesses that indeed surrounds them. At the time of this letter, it'd be pointing to the cloud of witnesses of these faithful people of the Old Testament, people like Abel and Abraham and Sarah and Moses, and as the letter recounts, many others as well. But as the church grew, as more and more Christians were added, God raised up more and more Christian saints and martyrs to be that cloud of witnesses, which we have come to know instead as the communion of saints, the communio sanctorum. And like those first Christians, we also have a vital and supernatural connection with these faithful ones. These saints, this cloud of witnesses, this communion that we have with them is something real, something supernatural. And by God's power and by His goodness, they indeed are allowed to intercede for us and to help us. But their main desire is not simply whatever petitions or issues we ask them to be praying for and to help us with. Their main desire, as is God's, is that we imitate them and become saints ourselves. And that's why the letter then continues, "Let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith." It's so important for us to realize this one thing. Besides Mary, saints are not born. They don't happen by accident. They are made. Saints are made. And a saint is made through a partnership between God and a sinner. When God and a sinner are working together, what comes from that is a saint. On God's part, we have His great desire that we would have this deep communion with Him. And so Jesus says in our gospel, "I have come to cast fire on the earth. How I wish it was ablaze." And that fire He's speaking of in the Gospel of Luke is the Holy Spirit. the very life, the very love of God that he wants to share with all of us. And Jesus realizes that the Holy Spirit will only be unleashed if he goes through the baptism of his suffering and death. And so he says, "How great is my anguish until it is accomplished." And so there's this great desire on God's part for us to grow in holiness, to be saints. And our Father will give us the means of grace to become a saint, which again is someone who is in deep and full personal communion with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Someone who is fully alive, who they have always meant to be through God's grace. And someone fully formed in faith, hope, and charity. And so God brings the desire for this. He brings the grace for it. On our part, that other side, first, I think the humble acknowledgement that we need God's grace and mercy always. You and I, we are sinners whom God desires to make into saints. You know, welcome to the club. That's the situation for all of us. And I think sometimes that being open to and really turning to God's grace can only come about through the hard things that happen in life, the really hard things. And I think about our first reading, you know, where we have Jeremiah the prophet who's trying to urge them to be faithful to the Lord, and kind of the princes around the king will just not put up with what he has to say, and they want him to die, and he ends up getting put into this cistern, this big reservoir that should hold water in the ground, but instead there's no more water and just mud. And he gets lowered into it, and he sinks into the mud. You know, I think a lot of people have sink into the mud moments in their life. You know, and I definitely see that in the parish and with parishioners that I know, that I meet, that I work with. They have those hard moments. You know, where I think sinking into the mud is maybe exactly how it feels. But we know that's not the end. And so we're called to persevere in running the race. And running the race, how? Our eyes fixed on Jesus, who leads us and perfects us in faith, as it says in the Hebrews. And Jesus understands that human struggle with suffering. He understands how that can be so hard, and he models for us both that struggle with suffering and then that trustful surrender that we must make. Jesus in our gospel today says, you know, "I'm in anguish until this baptism, this passion is accomplished." And also the later on in Luke, though, on the eve of that in the garden, he has his agony where he says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me." But then he continues, "Still not my will, but yours be done." And so he understands sinking into the mud. And he also understands how we need to turn and trust ourselves to God. And the Father willed that Jesus take up that cup of suffering for each one of us. The Lord's desire for our sanctity, to be fully alive in his grace, is so great. And I think on our part, we must increase our own desire for it. How can we do that? I think really first by contemplating what it truly is, the great joy and freedom of holiness, in order to desire it more deeply. You know, again, thinking about holiness, not as, okay, I'm just in some stained glass window somewhere, or something like that, but holiness as having that deep and personal communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, of really knowing them, knowing their love, their abiding presence, indeed how they dwell within me always, of finally becoming who I have always been made to be, but so often burdened by sin, by struggle, by past history, seemingly by circumstances, and then through grace coming fully alive. And that holiness of then being formed in faith, a faith that gives true light, a hope that, that cannot be conquered and overturned and crumpled, and a love, a charity that is like a fire blazing within. Do you want that? Do you desire that? Contemplate that. And then I think another way to increase our desire is to then root out all the things that kind of dissipate that desire. And so in Hebrews, it says, rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us. You know, not just maybe having a ceasefire, you know, with those things. Like, well, okay, we've kind of reached this accord, or this is a kind of our frozen conflict, you know? There's kind of sin up to this degree in my life, and I don't think that's going to change, but at least it's only that amount, you know? But instead, no, I want to be totally free of these burdens that keep me from running the race. And then I think a third thing is learn from and befriend the cloud of witnesses, the saints, these ones with whom we can truly have a relationship, our older brothers and sisters in Christ, who yearn for us to know the great joy that they know eternally. You know, and they will always support us in our choice for Christ, even if maybe people in this world, as Jesus predicted, don't or opposed to us doing that. They will be there to support us. And so to think about the saints and to really maybe be tuned into that more, let me highlight just a few little things that we have in our parish that might help you getting to know these saints better. You know, the first thing is, when you walk in back by where we have our holy water fonts, our baptismal font, on the two columns there are these two kind of framed things called reliquaries, in which we have relics of the saints, you know, actual remnants of the physical bodies of these saints who have in their bodies come alive in Christ and have been a light to the world. And so we have 11 saints back there, and they are in a way given to us as special friends of our parish. Go take a look at those. You know, learn about these special holy ones. We have 5 on one side, 6 on the other. I'm sure there's kind of somebody there for everyone. It's a real blessing to have these relics here. Another thing is that if you go over by our confessionals, you know, and I hope you do, you know, I just went to confession this week, you know, and so it's something, it's just a good, steady part of receiving God's mercy, of running that race well. If you go by our confessionals, you'll see some new things on the wall there. You'll see 4 images of saints on one side and 4 pictures of saints on the other side. You know, our bulletin, we have pictures of some of the saints from this month. You know, Catherine is kind of working on, well, what should the bulletin cover be this month? And she's like, wow, we got some great saints. I'm just going to slap them on the front cover, you know? And these images here, you know, that's like full glory. You know, they got their best robes on. There's like light shining on them, all that kind of business. It's great, you know? But these images of the saints by our confessional, it's a bit more like touching their humanity. They're very vivid depictions of these human beings, these sinners who have worked with God, who receive God's goodness to become saints. And each of these images, I think, they point to these saints who can really be friends and helpers, especially in that ridding ourselves of the burden and the sin that keeps us from running the race well. And so to help you get to know them better, some people on our staff have made these really amazing full-color handouts that go by each picture that talk about the life of this saint, maybe, and sometimes what was their kind of sink in the mud moments in their lives. What are the gifts and what's the spiritual patronage they have that God has given them? And then also a beautiful prayer, you know, that we can pray to ask them to help us in our needs. And all kinds of saints from all kinds of generations, go over there, especially when you're in line for confession. Take one of these along with you. Just take one. You can do that, you know, and enter into, wow, this person is amazing, and they want me to grow in holiness, which means they want me to grow in joy. Finally, maybe one other area along with the relics, our new saint friends, you know, those saints by the confessional. It's kind of like they're cheering us on as we're running the race, you know, as we're going to that confessional. Yes, another lap, keep it up, right? Another thing is down by our community center, we have this hallway called the Heavenly Hallway. It has icons of all these different saints. And then it also has a mirror there to look at, to look into. And it's labeled Saint in the Making. Because that's what this is all about. So my brothers and sisters, holiness and striving to grow by God's grace and sanctity is a pathway to real joy and real freedom. And the saints mark that out for us. These are like, if you want to know if Christianity is good and powerful, look at those sinners who really trusted in it, and look what happened to them. So my brothers and sisters, for the joy set before you, may you be here and now in full and deep communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May you be fully alive who you are really meant to be through God's grace. And may you be fully formed and free and rejoicing in faith, hope, and love.